Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we're covering today, Thursday, May 15, 2014. World Health Organization officials confirm an outbreak of cholera in Juba.
Yesterday, roughly about six cases or seven were taken to Juba Teaching Hospital complaining of similar symptoms. One of those patients passed away, but last night the number increased, and this morning the number is on the rise.
And South Sudan officials is calling on East African leaders not to forsake President Kiir.
We are saying, region, stand firm, support the democratically elected government. If there are any mistakes that had happened, then you don't beat a child because he has broken a glass.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. The South Sudan government and the UN's World Health Organization have announced a cholera outbreak in the capital, Juba. Officials say one person has died and 18 others are being treated. For VOA News, Charlton Doki reports from Juba.
There is an outbreak of cholera.
South Sudan's health minister, Riek Guy Kok, made that announcement before reporters in Juba this afternoon. Guy says the government was alerted to a suspected cholera case on April 29th. Further tests conducted in the Kenyan capital Nairobi on May 6th confirmed the patient had cholera. He says that first patient survived. But 2 days ago, more cases were reported.
Yesterday, roughly about six cases or seven were taken to Juba Teaching Hospital, complaining of similar symptoms. One of those patients passed away, but last night the number increased, and this morning the number is on the rise. So the total number of the cases we have right now are 18, including the deceased, of course.
The 18 cases originate from different Juba suburbs. 13 suspected cholera patients have been admitted to the Juba Teaching Hospital and are being treated in an isolation ward. Central Equatoria State's Health Minister, Emmanuel Ijabaya, says the state government will try to contain the outbreak by educating residents about how cholera spreads.
We really have to work hard, especially regarding latrines and our water. The messages are very clear. You have to wash. If you have gone out and you come back before you start eating any food, please wash your hands.
The head of the World Health Organization in South Sudan, Abdi Aden Mohamed, urged residents to immediately go to the nearest hospital with anyone suspected of contracting cholera.
Cholera is quite lethal. It can kill people in hours. The best thing is if someone gets cholera, let's bring him as quickly as possible to health centers where we have the treatment. An IV solution is the best that can save. The more people are kept at home, the more likelihood that people will die.
Mohammed says his organization has enough supplies to treat cholera patients, even if the disease spreads to other areas outside Juba. The WHO, UNICEF, and Doctors Without Borders have vaccinated 161,000 internally displaced persons in Minkaman, Malakal, Juba and Bor against cholera. But Mohammed says that's not enough.
This vaccination against cholera is only 65% effective. Again, it's two doses and people have to take the two doses, so it will be effective. And to that, in fact, the first case had only one dose. He should have taken another dose the second after 2 weeks, but that did not happen.
The mayor of Juba, Christopher Sarafino, says his administration will implement strict local orders to try to contain the outbreak. He says those measures will include treating water.
I would like to take this opportunity to be able to ask all the concerned people, the people who work with us very closely in the micro businesses level in the city, the people who are providing services like water, restaurant owners, bakeries, that they should comply with some of the strict local orders that we're going to come with to immediately try and mitigate this situation that we're having.
Cholera is a bacterial disease transmitted either through drinking contaminated water or eating contaminated food. For VOA News, I am Charlton Doki in Juba.
A court in Sudan has sentenced a 27-year-old woman to death for converting to Christianity. Mariam Yahya Ibrahim has been convicted of apostasy as well as adultery for marrying a Christian man. Appearing in a Khartoum court Thursday, she said, "I'm a Christian." Judge Abbas Khalifa then handed down the death sentence. Earlier this week, the U.S. and British and Canadian and other Dutch embassies expressed deep concern about the case. VOA's Atlas fellow May Abdel Nasser has more.
Sudanese defense lawyer Mohamed Abdel Nabi says Mariam Yahya was legally married to Daniel Wane in a Christian church in Khartoum. The couple and their baby were living together last summer when relatives of Mariam's Muslim father filed a lawsuit against her.
Some people came forth with a case against Mariam and her husband Daniel, saying that Mariam is their relative who had been missing for more than a year. They said they finally found her with a baby while cohabitating with Daniel in an unlawful relationship. So the couple was facing zina charges according to Article 146 of the law. The couple was arrested and a legal interrogation was carried out, but they were released on bail. The case was then referred to a legal court.
At that point, the judge became aware that besides the zina charge, Mariam was also charged with apostasy or leaving the Muslim faith. According to Article 126 of Sudan's Sharia law, Yahya was convicted of apostasy. On Monday, the court gave Mariam Yahya 3 days to reconvert to Islam or face the death penalty. Today, the judge found her guilty again. Mohamed Abdel Nabi speaking through a translator.
The judge asked her today, "Where do you stand? Do you embrace Islam or are you insisting on being an apostate?" She answered him, "I'm not an apostate, Your Honor, because I was never a Muslim. I grew up a Christian." Then the judge announced, "You are sentenced to death by hanging according to Article 126 of the law."
Daniel Wane, Mariam's husband, is a South Sudanese who also holds an American passport. He says police prevented him from attending his wife's final appeal. Wane says he will make another appeal and will continue to fight for his wife's life.
"My wife, actually, she's from Darfur, Western Sudan. Her mother from Ethiopia, and she grew up with her mother. And that's why she's a Christian since she's young, you know."
Sudan's Information Minister Ahmed Bilal told VOA by phone from Cairo that Yahya's death sentence is not final. Bilal says that even Sudan's Grand Mufti, Issam Ahmed al-Bashir, the ultimate religious authority in Sudan, objected to the sentence. He says Yahya should have been given more time to decide whether or not she wanted to convert to Islam before receiving the death sentence. The U.S. embassy called on the Sudanese government to respect the right to freedom of religion, which is guaranteed in international human rights law, as well as in Sudan's own constitution. For VOA News, I am May Abdel Nasser.
The United States is calling for African troops to be deployed quickly to South Sudan to monitor the peace agreement signed last week. U.S. Assistant Secretary in the African Bureau of African Affairs, Linda Thomas-Greenfield, made the call for African boots on the ground yesterday at an online question and answer session with callers from around Africa. South Sudan in Focus web editor Karen Zaivogo reports from Washington.
Thomas Greenfield says deploying an African protection force in South Sudan is a top priority for Washington.
"We have to work closely with the leaders in the region to make sure that we get IGAD troops on the ground who will be put in a position so that they can monitor the agreement and ensure that anyone who is involved in breaking that agreement will be held responsible. So we had a number of discussions with leaders about getting the UN resolution through that will allow these troops to deploy as quickly as possible. And this is one of our highest agenda items right now in dealing with South Sudan.
She refused to write off as a failure the peace agreement signed last week between President Salva Kiir and opposition leader Riek Machar, even though there have been reports of fighting around South Sudan.
I would not say the agreement is failing. The agreement was just signed.
And when a participant from Kampala asked if the United States had pressured Mr. Kiir to sign the new cessation of hostilities agreement with his arch-rival Machar, Thomas Greenfield insisted.
There was no forcing of hand that took place here. We urged the leaders on both sides to make the right decision in the best interests of their people. This is what the people of South Sudan deserve. We still have a lot more work to do. We continue to encourage the two protagonists on both sides to put the good will of their people first, ahead of their own wishes, and to bring peace to South Sudan.
She also repeated a warning that unless peace is restored quickly in South Sudan, the country faces a massive humanitarian crisis.
There's a famine that is looming if this fighting does not stop. More than 900,000 people have been forced from their homes, either in IDP camps inside of Sudan, or they've crossed the border into refugee camps in neighboring countries. This is the planting season. The humanitarian organizations asked when I was there in South Sudan with the secretary that we have a month of tranquility to allow people at minimum to go and start planting their farms so that we can address some of their humanitarian requirements. So again, this is just a start. We cannot predict failure days after the agreement was signed. We have to work to ensure that the agreement take root and that we start moving forward to provide a peaceful solution for the people of South Sudan.
For VOA News, I'm Karen Zeitvogel in Washington.
Officials from South Sudan are calling on other African governments to ignore calls from the international community to sanction their officials. They say it will only make it harder to achieve peace. Lucy Pony has the story for VOA from Nairobi.
Government spokesperson Michael Makuei-Lueth called a news conference during a visit to Nairobi today to encourage regional support for President Salva Kiir's administration. He says the government should be guided, not condemned.
We are saying region, stand firm, support the democratically elected government. If there are any mistakes that had happened, then you don't beat a child because he has broken a glass.
The United States has called on regional countries to consider imposing sanctions on South Sudanese officials who have contributed to human rights violations or are obstructing ongoing peace talks in Addis Ababa. Earlier this month, the U.S. issued sanctions against Presidential Guard Commander Mariel Chanwong and opposition military leader Peter Gadet, freezing their assets and imposing travel bans on both. Officials have warned more sanctions are possible if a cessation of hostilities agreement signed last week is not upheld. Makwe says such sanctions only make it more difficult for the country to achieve peace.
The international community and the people in New York go in and say these two parties have violated the agreement and they must be sanctioned. How do you sanction them now when you have not verified who has gone wrong? To me, that is a hasty decision that does not need to be taken at this moment.
Makuei says despite the sanctions, the government is engaging in the ongoing peace dialogue, including discussion about an interim government. But he says they will not budge on one point.
The position of the government is very clear. If you are going in for any type of government, it must be led by Salva Kiir, who is a democratically elected president, not the rebel leader who decided to rebel against a democratic system.
Makwe says he's not planning to visit any other countries in the region to talk about the sanctions. For VOA News, I'm Lucy Pony in Nairobi.
The UN mission in South Sudan is condemning the recent looting of medical supplies at Bentiu Hospital. The UNMISS spokesperson in South Sudan says a UN patrol touring the town witnessed armed groups loading supplies to trucks yesterday. Ariane Quintier declined to comment on which group is in charge of the town.
Since the agreement has been cited, it's true that Benchu has been rather calm. There's been a little bit of fighting yesterday, but not much. The city is calm. We took this opportunity and missed to do some patrols outside of the base. We went into Benchu City. We managed to find five civilians who were hiding that we brought back to the base so they could find protection with UNMISS. But also we had a very, very disturbing scene when we got to the hospital with some of our partners to pick up medicine. We realized that the medicine was being looted by men in uniforms and put in pickup. But otherwise, Benchu has been rather calm, yes.
Who is in charge of Benchu Town?
That you would have to ask the people in Benchu. I mean, again, we are in our base. We are doing our patrols outside of our base and protecting civilians, but we're not into the political decision of who does what in Benchu.
Yes, and during the patrol that your troops took in town, how does the town look like? I mean, are there civilians in town?
The patrols has reported that the town is calm, that there's a lot of distractions, not many civilians out. Again, they've managed to go to the all the way to the hospital, so it's you can drive in the town. Unfortunately, when we got to the hospital, despite the Geneva Convention, which condemns that, there was the hospital medical supplies had been looted.
And how about the other camps in Bor and in Manakal? Any updates from there?
I think the situation in Bor and Manakal is a bit like Benchu. Things are rather calm.
That's Ariane Quintier. UNMISS spokesperson for South Sudan. She spoke to me from Juba earlier today.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Drinking fluids during hot weather is important for your health. It's best to drink clean water, milk or fruit juice to avoid dehydration. Drinking alcohol will not help you and can cause problems. Consuming a lot of beer, wine or other alcoholic beverages can leave a person dehydrated, confused and susceptible to injury. The signs of dehydration are dry lips and tongue, headache, or even dizziness. If fluids aren't replaced quickly, heat stroke or even heart problems can follow. So make sure you drink a lot of fluids, especially clean water.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, Cameroon shoots poachers who are killing elephants. Stay tuned.
You don't want to miss VOA's South Sudan in Focus, and there are now a number of options for listening. You can hear us on one of our FM affiliate stations around the country. Check out our website, voanews.com/South Sudan, for the listings. In Juba, you can listen to South Sudan in Focus at 8 p.m. on 93.5, VOA's 24-hour station. You can also find us on the following shortwave frequencies, 11620, 13870, and 15180 kilohertz. Or you can listen on the web at www.voanews.com/South Sudan. You can also download our podcast on iTunes. That's South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
how much should fathers participate in childcare and household chores?
He is supposed to lead in bringing up the children in a manner that should be viewed as a respectable family in the society.
Father is very important to take care of his child so that they grow well, they get a good healthy, and even they can follow the way of education.
I think a father should take as much part in childcare. It takes two to tango.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus. The United Nations Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs says the Oslo-Norway Donors Conference for South Sudan, scheduled to take place next week, is an important event. Vincent Lilley tells Philippa Leu in Juba that the UN will make an international appeal for $1.8 billion.
The Oslo Conference is a strategic event organized between international donors led by the Norwegian government and the United Nations to raise funds needed for humanitarian priorities inside South Sudan.
The UN has made another appeal before of $1.3 billion, and only 40% is so far raised. So what difference will this conference make?
Before the new crisis that started in December 15th, South Sudan had a big humanitarian operation amounting to $1.3 billion. This new crisis, building on that one, meant that much, much more resources are required, and our normal way of raising funds will not be adequate in meeting the new gap, let alone the old gap that was already 40% only funded. And therefore, the Oslo Conference is meant to raise the profile and attention of the international community to the levels of suffering in South Sudan, which have dramatically risen and have become extremely deep. On top of that, over 3 million people have been directly affected. And therefore, nearly 30% of the people of South Sudan need immediate assistance to survive and to protect their dignity.
So what do you expect that assistance to provide? Is it food? Is it clothing? What is it all about?
We need assistance in 6 critical areas. Because people fled their homes, they did not carry their shelters, their homes with them, and therefore they are staying in the open. They need shelter. Because of staying in the open, children and the most vulnerable are sick and they need health assistance. They need food to survive. They need water and sanitation services. Children who are unaccompanied because they lost their parents need support to survive through protection measures. Old people who are unable to move around and flee will need assistance from humanitarians. And therefore, several facets of normal life, which have been very severely affected, will need attention.
Now, given the wide range of needs that you have just talked about, what are your expectations out of that conference?
We expect international humanitarians and donors to prioritize South Sudan. We will be appealing for nearly 40% more funds than we appealed for at the beginning of the previous crisis. We are still finalizing the exact figure, but it will be not less than $1.8 billion. And therefore, we expect donors to really come forward and provide funding to the extremely dire situation in the country.
Last week, the president and the rebel leader, Riek Machar, committed themselves to permanent, what they say now is a ceasefire, and that will likely hold. Is it a boost to the humanitarian agencies to reach people who are trapped in war zones?
The agreement between the government of the Republic of South Sudan and the opposition was a very significant and positive development. Humanitarians look forward to that holding so that tranquility will enable the population that is currently in dire situation to move about and manage their lives, even move to safer areas, plant crops where they can, move livestock to areas where they can get access to grass. And for some, even move to areas where they think they will manage their lives more safely.
That's Vincent Lilley of the UN Office for Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs speaking to reporter Philippa Leu in Juba earlier today. Cameroon says its soldiers have shot and killed 5 suspected poachers who had opened fire on elephants in the West Africa country. The military says some of those killed were Janjaweed militiamen from Sudan. Moki Edwin Kinzeka reports for VOA from Yaoundé.
The heavily armed poachers were caught operating in the Waza National Park and shooting elephants. A spokesperson for Cameroon's military, Colonel Didier Bajek, says soldiers who have been patrolling to protect the majestic animals responded, and in a shootout that erupted, five of the poachers were killed and ammunition seized.
Les bataillons d'intervention rapide ont été déployés dans le parc avec des combattants aguerris accompagnés par une logistique conséquente.
He says the rapid intervention battalion of the Cameroon Army had been deployed in the park with expert shooters and logistics. To obtain results, he adds, air and land patrols were organized. 10 horses, more than 2,000 bullets and 88 elephant tusks were seized and handed to the Ministry of Forestry and Wildlife. More than 1,000 elephants live in the park, which is located in far north Cameroon, near borders with Nigeria and Chad. The soldiers say they have been working with locals to obtain information about the poachers, but most people in the area have left out of fear. Poaching has decimated Africa's elephant populations. Poachers kill the elephants mainly for their ivory tusk, which remain in great demand in Asia, despite a 1989 treaty that made the ivory trade illegal. The revenue is often used to sponsor rebel activities in various countries. The director of the World Wildlife Fund in Central Africa, Hansen Langmeer, says his organization is calling on Asian countries to crack down on the ivory trade.
They use elephant ivory for a lot of things, ornaments, and also some funny belief that leaking the dust from elephant ivory can make you have potent powers, but which is not true, but it's traditional beliefs from those areas.
Wildlife groups say Africa's total elephant population has dropped an alarming 62% during the past 20 years. Last year, 100 elephants were killed in Cameroon, and improvement over 2012 when 300 of the animals were felled by poachers' bullets. Moki Edwin Kinzeka for VOA News, Yaoundé.
And that report by Kinzeka brings us to the end of our show for this Thursday. We now leave you with the song Habibi Nur Al-Ain by Amir Diat.
Habibi ya Nur Al-Ain ya Sakin Khayali عاشق بقالي سنين ولا غيرك في بالي حبيبي يا نور العين يا ساكن خيالي عاشق بقالي سنين ولا غيرك في بالي حبيبي يا نور العين يا ساكن خيالي عاشق بقالي سنين ولا غيرك في بالي حبيبي يا نور العين يا ساكن خيالي عاشق بقالي سنين ولا غيرك في بالي
Been listening to Amir Diad and the song Habibi Nur Al-Ain. I'm John Tanza in Washington. We are glad you could join us. Tune in again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
عيونك معايا عيونك كفايه